Genesis chapter 9. Pastor Simankani here, inviting you into the word of the Lord at Jenny through the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 9 verse 1 says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever.'" Close your eyes with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful that you still speak. And we are grateful, dear Father, that you are the God of all blessings. Speak to us and bless us, for we ask humbly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. My brother and my sister, sons and daughters of the living God, for that is who you are. Here we are now as we go through the book of Genesis. After the great deluge, after the great flood, God gives Noah and his sons the same blessing that he gave to humans at creation in Genesis 1 verse 28. There he empowers them to prosper and to replenish the earth. Further, we learn that humans continue to bear the image of God. Each person possesses, as it were, intrinsic value. We learn from this chapter that God introduces three drastic changes. First, God grants humans the permission to eat meat. Second, God gives to human beings the protection, as it were, and he gives a dread of humans to the animals that surround them so that they respond with dread and with fear. Third, God establishes a covenant with Noah and his offspring, guaranteeing never again to destroy the earth by a flood. And this covenant gives humans confidence to build communities without fearing another catastrophe of total devastation. And so, firstly, what does God do? He blesses them. I want you to understand, beloved, that God's heart for you is to bless you. That is the first thing that he did for humanity after creating them. God blessed them. And this blessing is the first thing that God does when human beings get out of the ark. God blesses them, commanding them to be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And then next, humans are given mastery over the animals. Now, all animals would have fear and dread before human beings. And then, in addition to the diet of the green plants and the fruits that were given at the beginning, God then grants humans permission to eat everything that lives and moves. And to this provision, follow this, God attached a strong prohibition that humans must not eat meat that has its blood still in it. And this principle became a central premise of the food laws in the Sinaitic covenant. You can see that in Leviticus 3 verse 17, Leviticus 17 verse 10 to 14. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Finally, God categorically prohibited the shedding of human blood so that we would understand the value of human beings. He says, and he backs this up with the law, affirming that he would surely demand an accounting for any human blood that is shed, whether by animals, and you can see that in Exodus 21, verse 28 to 32, or by human beings. And so the threefold repetition, "I will demand an accounting," there emphasizes and underscores God's determination for the protection of human life, therefore providing for us the estimation of God's value upon human life. Whenever you encounter a human being, you are encountering somebody who bears the image of God. Every human being, whatever their status in society or life, bears the image of God. And so murder is a direct affront, an unbridled revolt against God. And therefore God declared that a murderer is subject to capital punishment. Every cause has an effect. Every action has a consequence. That is what we have seen already. And so, to Adam and Eve for the sin that they committed, there was a consequence. And here, for the murder of a human being, there is a provision that there shall be judgment, and the judgment provided is capital punishment. This penalty is based upon the principle of lex talionis and is warranted by the fact that the murderer has violated God's image. Beloved, in this second speech, God solemnly bound himself by a covenant never again to wipe out the inhabitants of the earth by a flood. This covenant was unilateral. It is God making the covenant, committing to this. That is, no conditions were laid on human beings for keeping it in force. It is a unilateral covenant that God makes. This was an everlasting covenant, according to verse 16, for all generations to come. And so whenever we see the rainbow in the sky, God reminds us of this covenant that he made. And it implies that God will keep his promise. And today I want to say to all of us that as we live under the sun, we look back at what happened in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. And we look at what is happening in the world today, and the Bible says, never again shall I bring a flood as a judgment to human beings. And we are reminded that God is faithful to his covenant. But there is a caveat to it, which is that at the end of time, when sin increases in the world, God will not, as it were, cleanse the earth in a manner so as to keep things as they were when there was a remnant that continued. God shall, as it were, bring finality to this whole plan of redemption, so that at the end it will not be waters that come, because then God will not be, as it were, cleansing in the manner that he did. What he will do in the end is a fire that puts finality, to all of the enemies that, as it were, have brought such ravages to this world. From Satan himself, you go to the book of Revelation, we are told that he will be thrown into the fire, together with all of the angels, together with death, and together with all that have gone with him to try and usurp the authority of God. What is the lesson here for us as we close? I pray today that God's blessing may be upon your life. May you be fruitful and may you multiply. May you understand your value in God. May you understand that in God your identity is secure, that you are a bearer of the very image of God. And then finally, respect every human being that you encounter. As you meet, as you talk to whatever person of whatever race, whatever culture, whatever language, whatever tribe, whatever, remember that they bear the image of God. Let us close our eyes as we pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful today for the lessons that we learn as Noah exits the ark. He was blessed, and so we are blessed too. May you bless us in our going in and in our going out. May you help us, Lord, to be fruitful, fruitful in our families as we bear children, but also fruitful in our businesses, but also fruitful in every avenue by which we pursue to live to the glory of God. And I pray that as this happens, dear Father, as we are fruitful and as we multiply, we may give all glory and honor to you. And I pray also that as we see the rainbow in the sky, may it remind us of what happened early in the book of Genesis, and also remind us of what shall come at the end of time. Humble us now through the Holy Spirit and bless every child, every parent, every mother and father, for we ask humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.